Welcome to the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. As investigators and mediators focused on regulatory and workplace conflicts, we have seen a thing or two and learned a thing or two. In each episode, we will be speaking with industry leaders in regulation, human resources and law, as well as thought leaders and top performers in investigations and mediation. We bring our audience interesting and cutting-edge information on conflict management as it relates to professional regulation and workplace disputes. This industry is one of many views, and we have to say that some views shared by our guests are not necessarily shared by the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast, its host, or sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by Bernard & Associates, trusted investigation and mediation professionals since 2004. Now here's your host, Dean Bernard.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome. And if you've listened before, thanks for coming back. Now, on this edition of the podcast, we have Melissa Willems, who is here to talk about a career in professional regulation. Now, often when I tell people about my regulatory work, they comment on, you know, how interesting it must be. They want to learn more about the professional regulatory community and what opportunities exist for a career in that field. And today I've got Melissa here, who's in a way better position to talk about that because she's certainly done a lot more in the field of regulation than I have. So I wanted her to kind of share her experiences. So let me tell you a little bit about Melissa. Melissa is the former registrar and executive director of the College of Dietitians of Ontario, but she didn't start there. Prior to taking on this role, she was acting deputy registrar and general legal counsel for the College of Opticians of Ontario and director of professional conduct and general legal counsel at the College of Audiologists and Speech Language Pathologists of Ontario. Melissa is a lawyer, and prior to working in-house for these regulators, she practiced law in a large Canadian-based international law firm working with clients in the health regulatory sector. I have to say, I've worked directly with Melissa for many years, and she is one of the most thoughtful people I've met in terms of her desire to get it right and really to be doing the right thing at the right time when it comes to being a leader in her organization or the decisions she makes that impact the people being regulated and the public. So I'm just thrilled that you're here with us today, Melissa, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Dean. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here and to be participating in this, and think that it's great that you're putting this together for the community.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's we're certainly a work in progress, but we're getting there and doing the best we can to try and bring people interesting topics, of which today will definitely be one of those. Now, clearly from the intro that I provided, it's clear the audience now will have an understanding of your somewhat eclectic career in regulation. And I want to definitely get into that. But I'm wondering if you can talk to me first about what attracted you to regulation and what kept you there.
So I'd like to say that it was some grand plan that I had to get into regulation. But admittedly, like many things in life, it was something that I actually fell into really early on in my career. So when I was starting out as a new lawyer at the law firm, and still as an articling student, actually, I got pulled into a very interesting discipline case that the law firm was handling. And it sort of pretty much just went from there. So with that case, I got involved, and it was a big case. So it was very demanding for some time. And then from there, I was doing some other work for the regulatory clients at the firm and realized that this was a really interesting area. It was an area I didn't really even know that it existed before, even though as a lawyer, I was also regulated, but admittedly hadn't really given a lot of thought to that. And so I just went from there. I'd always had an interest in health, though, and health law. So the regulatory world, particularly working for a regulatory college, was a really great combination of doing really interesting law, working in something in the health field, and then another aspect of it that I also hadn't really appreciated was there until really getting involved with it was the public interest piece. And I'd say that at the end of the day is what has really attracted me to stay in regulation for that long.
Right. And it's such a great thing to be doing something where you can look back on the work you've done and know that you've made a difference for the community or for the public. And within your time working in regulation, I know you've, as I said earlier, you've held several different roles. And I assume that those roles must have provided you with a unique perspective. So looking back, was that useful to you in your path through regulation?
So I definitely think so. And I think so in a couple of respects. So the first aspect of that really is, I think it can be really helpful to have had involvement in roles where I was later then providing leadership and guidance and support for other people who were doing those roles. So when you are supervising people, when you're providing guidance and support and working with colleagues, the fact that I had literally been in those shoes in other roles. So I had a good understanding of what was involved in the day-to-day work, and I was able to bring that to the more of the leadership role as the registrar. So it was helpful from that perspective. I think it can also have its downsides, because you also have to respect the fact that you're not doing that job anymore, and it's now someone else's job to do it, and you do need to respect those boundaries. And that can be tough. You know, you don't want to be micromanaging and always, you know, feeling like you can't be replacing someone else's judgment for yours, and you have to respect that. But I do think it was helpful. You know, if I had a conversation with somebody and we were talking about, you know, we need to do this, that, or the other thing, I had a good idea of the very practical work that went into that, how long things would take, who needed to get involved, who we would need to potentially pull in, who could be of assistance. So I think all of that was very helpful. And then the other aspect of that is I found it really helpful as registrar, particularly I think as registrar of a smaller college, although I can't really compare that to having worked or been registrar at a larger college. But I think it was really helpful that I had pretty good idea of the different areas of the work that we did. So, you know, I'd had involvement with complaints, discipline, registration, quality assurance, practice advice, and even then on the administrative side of things. So what does it take to run a small office? What does it take to coordinate with different people and you're collaborating with the different teams? And I think having that experience was also very helpful. I was really fortunate in all of my jobs to have not been siloed by the people that I was working with. I'm really fortunate to have bosses who did not just pigeonhole me, particularly given that I was legal counsel, so I can see how there could have been a risk, but people who were willing to sort of let me get involved. I could kind of have my fingers in a bunch of different pies as long as I didn't mess things up. And that gave me lots of interesting experience that I was then able to apply, well, throughout my career, but in particular, I think in the registrar job.
It's interesting, you know, two points that jumped out at me in what you're talking about. First off, as a leader, you know, transitioning from being that person who did the work to being the person who leads the people who do certain roles and being able to let go. And I can certainly relate to that. That's a challenging thing to do, because oftentimes those of us who do move into leadership positions are pretty proud of the work that we did that got us there. It's like they talk about great coaches in sports are often not the people who were the greatest at what they did, but rather understand the broader context. And so I find that really interesting. Now, given that you've worked in all of these different roles, you've been in that leadership position, I think it's pretty obvious to say that you must have faced some challenges along the way. And so I have to ask you, what did you find to be the most difficult aspect of working in regulation, and how did you manage that?
So yeah, I'd say probably a challenge or two along the way. It would be interesting if we had this conversation before the pandemic to see if I had a different perspective, certainly having worked in the role through the pandemic or a considerable portion of the pandemic, had a number of challenges. But I think it was really a lot of the same flavor of what we otherwise deal with. And I'd say a big part of the challenge of the work that we do in regulation is the weightiness of the role. It is important work that we do. It has a significant impact on individual people. We have to remember when we're talking about patients, applicants, members, stakeholders, those are actual people that we're talking about. They're not groups. They are individuals. And so that's weighty to carry that and to respect that the decisions that we made do impact people. Related to that is the fact that it is challenging work. It's hard work. And it's the type of work that is very structured in the boundaries that we had of what we were able to do and what we weren't able to do, which sometimes meant that, you know, maybe we couldn't always do exactly everything that we would have wanted to do. Although I do think the legislation gives us, you know, a fair amount of flexibility to make sure we're achieving what we need to achieve. But, you know, that could be challenging as well, sort of working within the confines of what it means to be a professional regulator. And that may not always well align with what people's expectations could have been of us. And I think recognizing as well, another aspect of one of the challenges is that we're working with people, and people are people, and they have their ups and downs and their good and bad days. And particularly through the pandemic, it was very challenging. It still is, of course, going on as we're recording this. Challenging, tough time. That said, I say a big thread throughout the entire time that I've worked with people in regulation was how impressed I always was at how people would rise to the challenge. And they would always try to do their best, trying to do a good job, whether you were a member of a profession or somebody else working within the healthcare world, and then, of course, working within the regulators, because those are the ones that I had the most contact with, that people were always trying to do their best job. So maybe the last challenge that I would want to comment on is me wanting to make sure that I was also then rising to the challenge in order to be respectful and to honor the people that I was working with who were clearly putting so much into it. And that raised the bar for me. I didn't feel that I could be anything less than my best and to do my best, because people that I was working with and the clients and the members and the applicants, they deserve that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of pressure to work with. And I know, obviously, I've been involved in regulation for many years as well. And I can say that, as you've already pointed out, the work can be heavy at times, the gravity of the work and the impact that it has on people. And so I can see where that would be one of the greatest challenges that you would face. And I'm curious, did you have an approach or a mindset that helped you adjust when things were maybe a little more intense?
So I think keeping that in mind even sometimes was quite helpful. So even though it was very weighty and we were making really important decisions that impacted people, and sometimes people weren't happy with the decisions that we made, I think though, keeping in mind that we were making these decisions in the context of the greater good, if I can be so bold as to say that, that to me gave me a lot of fuel. So it gave me a lot of fuel to feel that I was playing my part, however small it may have been at the end of the day, to contribute to something that I thought was a really good thing, which is a good, robust, and healthy healthcare system in Ontario. So I got a lot from that. On a bit more of a practical side, and this has been from the first day pretty much that I started working, even at, you know, a very large demanding law firm. Practice of law is a very demanding job as well. I absolutely respected, tried very hard at least to respect my personal time and my personal hobbies, my friends and family, and make sure that I was giving that, you know, as much time as I could, definitely sometimes easier than others. But I really do think I never ascribed to this real mentality of, you know, we have to just work ourselves to death and that it's a badge of honor to be working and then not playing. So I did try to make sure I was building all of that in. And I think that was very helpful to be doing that. The last year is definitely a little more challenging, of course, with the pandemic and, you know, all of the things that we've been talking about over the last year about how work was bleeding into life and vice versa with everybody working from home or many of us working from home. But just even in general, I find that that was very helpful. I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's a bit of a cliche, but you do need to make sure that you're, I won't use the word balance, I don't even know what you would call it, but you need to do whatever it is that you value outside of work, because we aren't just what we do for a living.
I agree. Again, I don't know if it's the right phrase to use, but I think of it as self-care, that all of us, regardless of what we do for our careers and the obligations we have in our lives, we have to focus on self-care to be the best we can be when we're needed. We have to be at our best. And being there is about looking after our own needs as well. And I think that's a point that's very worthwhile. Now, given we've talked about the weightiness and the heaviness of the role and some of the big decisions that have to be made and the impact it has on people, and those are all things that I think on one hand attract people to a role, there must have been other things that attracted you and kept you in the role. So I'm also curious to know, what did you love most about your career in regulation?
I really loved the people that I worked with over the years in all the different places that I've worked. I still have friends from the different places that I've worked. And I really enjoyed the community. So when I made the decision to resign from my role at the college, it was really hard for a couple of reasons. So one, because I knew I'd be leaving a job that I loved and I did get a lot out of. and that would be tough. And I'd be leaving that particular group. I'd be leaving the work I was doing with the profession of dietetics, which is a fabulous profession, and leaving that public interest work with the college. But I also knew that it probably meant that I would be, in large part, at least for the time being, leaving the community of regulation. And that was a really tough aspect. It took me a while to come to terms with making the decision, keeping that in mind, because this is such a great group of people that we have. Again, I've mentioned it already. People, they work hard, they're committed, thoughtful, smart, funny. I feel like I've been so fortunate with all the people that I've worked with over the years. I've enjoyed socializing with this group. It's not just a good group of people to work with. I've enjoyed spending, personal time with these folks. So I got a lot out of that. And I suspect through the pandemic, even, and lots of people probably knew this already, I think the people can make or break a job. So you can be doing a job that you like. You can maybe like the task, but if you're struggling with the environment or you're struggling with the atmosphere, you're probably not going to like the job very much. I think, though, that having a group of people that you really enjoy and working with and you get a lot of fuel from, then you can get through those days where the work is more challenging or maybe even a bit boring or whatever the challenge is that the work itself is bringing, you can get through that. And so for me, that has been a really significant aspect of the joy and the satisfaction that I've gotten from the job over the years. And it has made it such that the tough parts of the work that we do, the challenging parts, the weightiness, all of that is much more manageable because you have that fuel. You have to have that fuel to keep you going through it. And I definitely got that within this regulatory community.
That's fantastic. And I have to say, my experience has been similar. I would say that some of the best mentors, leaders, people who've helped me, either giving me a lift up or giving me a push along, some of the greatest people I've met have been people that have worked within the field of regulation. And prior to going out on my own, I did the reverse of you. I worked for a regulator and then went out and ventured out on my own. But it was a lot of the learning and the mentoring and the guidance that I got from the people I worked with within regulation that really helped push me along. So that's really excellent to hear you say that. Now, sometimes our guests will share tips, things that have helped them to succeed in their field. And so I'm wondering if you have any habits or hacks that you've engaged in that you think helped you succeed.
Some things that I learned as a lawyer when I was starting out, and I think sort of kept me in good position through all the years, was preparation. And I know, again, talking about cliches, right, being prepared, but it really does, for me, it always made a big difference. So making sure I was preparing for whatever it was that I was doing. So was it a meeting that was coming up, a discussion, a presentation, whatever it could be, making sure that I was doing the preparation that I needed to be doing. It makes you feel more comfortable, more confident. And then also if there's something else that you need to check on or complete before, then you know that you've got it done. And one of the ways I would make sure that I would do that is very practical, but I just made sure I wrote things down. I kept track of what my to-dos were. You know, everybody has their own way of doing that. So again, definitely, so I was a litigator when I was in private practice. And so you have court dates, you have filings, you have to develop some pretty good skills at keeping on top of what is going to be due when, who do you need to get involved. And so that was continuing out throughout my regulatory career. So I would make sure that I had a good handle on when things needed to be completed by, what was the work that was involved that I would need to do. So I would work back from that, thinking about, okay, if I'm going to need to talk to so-and-so, I should make sure I do it by, X date so that I can have that information before. That's definitely something I think that comes with practice, is that you sort of develop that skill of being able to think 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. And then it actually becomes very, it's not daunting at all because you become more comfortable and you feel like you have a better handle on things, or at least that's really what worked for me. Another big thing that I think has, worked well, although no doubt sometimes maybe could be a source of frustration for colleagues, is not rushing into decisions if I didn't have to rush into a decision. So if I had the luxury of being able to take some time, if there were people that I wanted to talk to get their views on something, collect information, reach out to our colleagues, again, this fabulous regulatory community, always willing and ready to share information. So I found I was always drawing on that. So that was always really helpful. You know, I think particularly in the regulatory community, when you have about 26 regulatory colleges and we all have essentially the same mandate, there's very little reason for us to be sitting and reinventing the wheel 26 times. So I found it was very helpful to be able to reach out to the community, ask people for help, get people's thought on something. You know, when you have the time, the ability to do that, I feel that you should definitely take advantage of doing it. And then the last thing I would say, again, probably from my lawyer training, was read things. Read anything that comes across your desk before you sign it. If you're signing it, before you pass it on to somebody else, if you're passing it on to them to sign it, read it. See what it says. See if there's any issues in it. Get a handle on whatever it is that is required in it. If there's timelines, response dates, anything like that. And then making sure that you have a good understanding of it. So that's a really practical, small thing, but it's the sort of thing, especially if you're busy, or maybe you think, well, I don't know, this maybe isn't really my expertise. Is there any benefit for me in reading it? But I'd say a lot of the time there would be. So I would say, you know, read things that come your way.
Those are great practical tips, and definitely I can see how they helped. I actually particularly like your comment about, you know, sharing knowledge. That is one thing I've found in the regulatory community is that, you know, chances are if you're facing something for the first time, somebody else has done it before you. And so that's one great thing about, I find, about the regulatory community is people are always willing to share their advice and their thoughts on things. So I can see how that would have been a very helpful thing for you to do. Now, another question I have for you is, if somebody's looking to start out in the area of regulation, what advice would you give somebody who wants to begin a career in that field?
So the first thing I think I would say to them is great decision, because it is such a fabulous field. And I think, as I've already spoken to you, all the reasons why I loved it. So I think it's great. And there are so many opportunities. I mean, there are a number of regulators, and within the regulators, there are all different kinds of jobs. You could be within a regulator and doing a completely different job of the person sitting next to you. And certainly my experience has been working with the people that I work with over the years is if you are hardworking, if you are smart, if you are a nice person, if you have a good sense of humor, and if you are interested in doing the job, there are going to be lots of opportunities for you throughout the regulatory area, I think. And so, you know, just be open-minded with where you may go, what you may do, which regulator you may work at. And certainly, as you can tell from my resume, I've moved around, taking advantage of those opportunities, really. Taking advantage of the opportunities that were out there to stay interested and engaged and to keep learning and developing. And again, like I said, I've always been fortunate to have people who I worked with who didn't put me in a box and tell me you can only do A, B, or C. And, you know, find those people and be that person. Be open to doing different things. You never really know what you're going to find interesting. You never know what you're going to be particularly good at if you haven't tried it yet. It could be something you didn't even expect, and you start doing it and you think, my goodness, I actually really enjoy doing this. When I started out, I didn't even really know that the world of professional regulation existed. And I certainly didn't know that I would be, you know, registrar of a college at any point. So be open-minded and enjoy the work and take a lot of pride and take a lot of heart in the fact that what we do is a good thing and we do good work. And there's a lot to be said about that. And, you know, it can have its challenges and its frustrations. And maybe sometimes you might wonder about the impact that you're having, but I really do believe in the field. I believe in the value of regulating the professions, of working with the professions respectfully in order to contribute to a good healthcare system. So I think there's a lot, and I think that people can draw on that as they go through their careers. Don't be afraid to laugh. Just because we do serious work doesn't mean that we can't enjoy our colleagues and, you know, have a good sense of humor and enjoy what we're doing. And maybe the last thing is that you will make mistakes, and we all make mistakes. And chances are, unless you're involved in some kind of task that I've never encountered in professional regulation, nobody is going to die as a result of your mistake. And so you learn from it, you own up to it, you learn from it, you move on. You absolutely will make mistakes, and that is human. Again, it's a cliche, but it is part of the learning process. So you shouldn't be expected, you're not going to be going into this knowing everything, and you will learn every day.
That's great advice. And it's funny because, you know, I was thinking about your, as you were talking, I was thinking about what you said in terms of the learning as well. And it's interesting because when we named this podcast, we called it the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. And the reason we called it that is because by seeing a thing or two, we've learned a thing or two. And clearly that's been your experience. You've seen a lot, you've learned a lot, you've given a lot to the field of regulation, and it's a better world for it, for the work that you've done and the work that many others do in this area. So that's great. And I really appreciate you sharing all of that. I'm curious now, though, what is next for Melissa? Where are you going from here?
So right now, I am enjoying the summer. My kids are off school, so I'm enjoying being able to spend more time with them and thinking about what I want to do next, which I'm admittedly not really sure what I would like to do next. I've been thinking about it for some time. And like I said, I'm pretty sure with resigning from the registrar role that would probably mean that I wouldn't be really working directly with any of the healthcare regulatory bodies anymore. So thinking about otherwise what I would like to do, I am pretty sure that whatever I do, I would very much like it to have a public interest perspective to it. I think that has meant so very much to me. And so I would really like to be able to do that. Maybe something that is more patient or client facing, as the regulators were quite arm's length from patients. So maybe something that's a little more directly involved with patients, if that's possible, and there's something out there where that could be. I mean, that may turn into a volunteer possibility at some point, but we'll sort of see on that front. For a very long time, since I was a teenager even, I kind of remember sitting in one of my high school classes and thinking, I would like to get into politics one day. So I very briefly dipped my toe, the very end of my toe in it, this last year, and it didn't really go anywhere, but I learned actually quite a bit from that very short period. So I think that's still on the radar, probably not for the foreseeable future, but at some point, I think that may somewhere still be in my future. And I think for the time being, I am enjoying having some downtime, some opportunity to spend some more time with my family. I'm cautiously optimistic that we're coming out of the pandemic with the vaccines rolling out, numbers coming down, and the opportunities that gives us to reconnect with our friends and family. So looking forward to doing some of that and excited about what was next. It's not the first time actually I quit a job without another job lined up, and that worked out really well for me the last time. So I think that whatever I do next, if I have opportunity to work with the people that I've worked with and to do something as important as this work, I'll be pretty lucky.
Well, I'm sure whatever it is you do, you'll bring a great deal of passion and intellect to it. And speaking of politics, I think the world of politics could use somebody like you. So I hope that's a direction that you ultimately go, because I'm sure you'd be excellent in that role. Now, I have to say, I've really enjoyed this chat, Melissa. It's been great. Normally at this point, I ask our guests to talk a little bit about what some of their interests are outside of their working role. I think you've already kind of covered that. You talked a little bit about spending time with your family, but do you have any other interests that you enjoy when you're not busy with your head down doing the work that you do?
So I'm a very avid gardener, and I won't say that the timing of my resignation happened to align with the start of gardening season, but the fact that it did was a nice, happy coincidence. So I've been enjoying being able to get outside, particularly given that we haven't really been able to go very far than our four walls for quite some time. So I've been enjoying doing that and just getting out, low key, getting out. I'm looking forward to being able to do some travel once things open up a little bit, but, you know, maybe rethinking how I did travel than how we did it in the past. But so we'll see. But I don't want people to be a stranger, and looking forward to meeting up with people again.
I'll bet. Well, that's great. And again, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show. You shared some great insights and some knowledge for anybody who's either working in professional regulation currently or considering a career in that field. So thank you for that. And in case our listeners want to connect with you, and I'm sure some will, how can they best do that?
I'd love to hear from people. So they are more than welcome to contact me at my personal email address. So it's my first and last name at hotmail.com. So MelissaWillems at hotmail.com. Absolutely. If somebody wants to connect, has a question, wants to meet up for a coffee, virtual or in person, I'm very happy to do that. And I've got lots of time to do that now.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that's great. I'm sure there'll be some people that will take you up on that. So again, Melissa, thank you so much. Everybody, that is a wrap for this episode. Thanks again for listening. We sure. want to hear from you. So please tell us how we're doing. As I say, our motto at Bernard & Associates and with everything we do, including this podcast, is it's all about constant and never-ending improvement. And your feedback will help us with that. So please, if there's something that you think we could be doing differently, an idea for a show, anything, please reach out to me. All of our podcasts get linked to our website, bernardinc.com. You can always reach me at dbernard@bernardinc.com or look me up on LinkedIn, Dean Bernard on LinkedIn. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the We've Seen a Thing or Two podcast. Bye-bye.